Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Let's jump right into the news, guys. We've got Donald Trump again, the man who is always in the news. So President-elect Trump launches new official Trump Bitcoin trading cards on Ordinals. Enough said. Rick, I'm just going to hand this one right off to you, give you a layup. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't express how little interest I have in Ordinals, right? They make absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I think the idea is that they're supposed to be like artwork of some form, and that gives them some value. But I mean, listen, I'm not an art expert, right? I wouldn't consider myself an art connoisseur, but I've seen a lot of NFTs in my time, and I've seen quite a few of these Ordinals as well. And they are all objectively, in my opinion, mainly just total garbage, right? Like you've got like, you know, these profile picture collections they do with like weird animals and stuff. Most of the art is AI generated. There's no love or passion or meaning, which for me kind of disqualifies them as art in a lot of ways. You know, find me someone who buys Ordinals who is genuinely buying them because the way they love that this artwork looks, right? I just don't believe that for a second, right? And you know what? If that is what you think the value is in these Ordinals, then just take a screenshot and print it out and frame it and stick it on your wall. And then you can enjoy this beautiful artwork that you fell in love with without parting with any of your hard-earned money, right? So I don't really get it. It's just another form of gambling. You know, people buy them, I think, solely with the expectation of it going up in value so that they can dump it on someone else and make some money. So my view of Trump launching them is kind of like, it doesn't surprise me that much, right? He sells like Trump watches and Trump whiskey. And I think there's a whole litany. He's kind of like, do you guys ever watch The Simpsons? You know how like Krusty the Clown always like launches any sort of little gizmo with his face on it? Like I kind of think Trump does the same thing. Like, okay, yeah, I can make a buck on that. And I mean, whatever, fair play to him, right? He's a businessman, it's a free country. You know, a Bitcoin transaction is a Bitcoin transaction, right? It's not up to me what other people do with this protocol. So off he goes. But I don't think it paints him in a particularly good light, right? Like he is selling rubbish to, I guess, his fans or his voters, and they'll probably lose money on it. It also, I mean, look, let's cast our minds back to Nashville, right? Like we knew he wasn't going to be Bitcoin only, based on his very first speech about Bitcoin, because he kept saying like crypto this and crypto that. So I wouldn't say it's a big surprise, but I would say it's a huge distraction. And the last thing I'll say about this is like, look, the same people who idolize people like Trump are the same people who idolize people like Saylor, who idolize people like Roger Ver, who idolize people like Andrew Tate, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And one thing that Bitcoin teaches you, if you stick around long enough, is to slay your heroes, right? Like this isn't about, Trump doesn't control Bitcoin. Nobody controls Bitcoin. Like, you know, just focus on what you're doing, stack some Bitcoin, and don't get pulled into all of this rubbish. I think chances are Trump is just on his own journey of learning what Bitcoin is and why all this other rubbish is nonsense. And I'm sure he'll get there, just like the vast majority of us did. So give it a little time and hopefully he'll learn his lesson, but it seems like he's going to dabble around with some shit coins for a little bit first, and then maybe he'll join us as a maxi in given time.
I hope you're right, man. Tony, what do you think?
Trump wants to be with the cool kids, you know, and he understands very little about the space to begin with, but you know, this Bitcoin is for these young cool kids, but there's a lot of them. So I want to be in on the action, right? Make it great for America. That's really what I think he understands from it. He just wants to win. Whatever that win means, it doesn't really matter. He'll figure that out later. Ordinals are spam on the Bitcoin blockchain. You know, I never liked them. I never believed in them. I think it's just junk for suckers. And clearly there's a lot of them out there, because otherwise nobody would be paying anything for it. But, you know, if there's a market for it, why not? Let the free market decide. And, you know, if there's people dumb enough to spend money on this, then so be it. I mean, Trump is a businessman. If he sees an opportunity to make a killing off of it, then he's going to follow it, and he's within his rights to do it. Like, who are we to say he shouldn't? Bitcoin is for everyone, right? So if Bitcoin can't withstand these stupid games, then it's garbage altogether. But this won't affect Bitcoin whatsoever. It'll affect, you know, the impression people have of Trump, you know, especially like from a purist mindset, you know, ordinals, like, who talks about that rubbish? From a maxi standpoint, yeah, you want nothing to do with it. But, you know, you live in a world of 8 billion people and not all of them have a clue. That's the problem. So until they all do, you're going to see like a million colors of dumb, you know, being played in the market. And it's okay. That's a free market. That's why I call it a free market. Winners win, losers lose. And at some point, these people will realize that this is a losing bet and a waste of time and money. And hopefully at some point they learn. But again, keep in mind, Trump still believes in the dollar. You know, he hasn't, you know, locked in on the concept of the separation of money and state. So a lot of the stuff that he's going to do is to somehow try to save the dollar, which is a losing fight, in my opinion. But to him, there's still a chance. And if he thinks Bitcoin is going to somehow boost the dollar and keep it relevant for the next 100 years, well, you know, he's going to do whatever he thinks Bitcoin is going to do for him. Ultimately, it's going to backfire. Of course, anyone who understands this knows that this is the ultimate endgame. The dollar is going to zero no matter what happens. But he has to come to that conclusion on his own, and it's going to become very obvious just the way, if you just let things play out, and if he just gets out of the way, which I think he will, because again, he wants to win, right? So Bitcoin will continue doing what it does, and more people will understand that this is the only money that has value. And that's it.
Well, Tony, I think if he wants to be a part of the cool kids, he probably shouldn't associate with people who dance around in wizard hats.
It depends on your definition. I'm no expert
on being cool, but I know that that's a red flag. All righty, let's talk about inflation. So let's watch this video real quick from Joe Kernan.
There's a lot of people that are nodding with you because we can deflate our way out of some of the step, but the difference between 2% and 3% compounded for the dollar is devastating. And I don't know, for you to just blow it off is a little weird. There's a reason they want 2%. Anyone can move goalposts. If you compound 3%, that's 50% higher than 2%.
Do you know where 2% comes from?
But
2%
3%
comes from...
it would be, would make all of us feel awful in 10 years.
2% comes from the Bank of New Zealand in the early 90s.
It seems like a good number to me.
It's an arbitrary number.
Five is an arbitrary number. If you want to deflate $36 trillion, let's go to 10 then.
I don't want to pull the rug from under U.S. economic exceptionalism. I think we are outpacing the rest of the world.
You're starting to at 3%.
I think we are investing in the economies of tomorrow, in the growth drivers of tomorrow. No, the private sector, everything else. If you push this economy into recession...
The private sector is not what causes the inflation.
Joe, if you push this economy into recession, you will not just lose current standard of living, you will lose future standard of living. We are in a very good position...
3% loses the future standard of living. That's the problem.
2.5 to 3 is what I said. You went immediately to 3.
Well, if you say 3 at the high end,
and
you're,
as long
you're
as inflation,
okay with it.
As long as inflation expectations are stable... You can navigate.
You better buy some Bitcoin, Muhammad.
So that was a great sign off. Better buy some Bitcoin, Muhammad. However, the fact that they're sitting around arguing about how much the government should steal from us through inflation and 2% sounds about right is insanity. That's maybe an aside. Tony, I'll let you take this one first. What's your reaction? I wish you'd been at that table. That's for sure.
Yeah, I wish I was at that table too, that smug piece of shit. I would have given him a mouthful of responses. The problem with all these government prostitutes, because that's really what they are, is that they've been brainwashed so much, they actually believe that somehow they have this God-given right to dictate how people earn their keep and, you know, use their money. This guy is trying to justify, and I genuinely believe, he wholeheartedly believes that 2-3% is okay. And that everybody should be okay with it. So he's telling you, it's okay for me to rip you off, you know, by X amount of percent a year that I decide on. You shouldn't be complaining. You should be happy that it's not more, right? So they genuinely believe they have the right to steal from you. And this is the problem with all of them, is that they're all brainwashed, part of that same criminal cartel. Like, who the fuck are these people, man? Like, who needs them? They're ripping you off with money that is not even money to begin with. Like this is like the funny part. You know, you go to work, you're earning worthless toilet paper, you know, created to steal from you at a rate that, you know, they all sit around at a table and decide, well, okay, how much do we take from them now? And they concoct all of these bullshit rules, all of these regulations are all worth nothing, okay, just to justify their stealing of you. So every time you sneeze, you need to give them a full report. But when they go and they fucking blow and lose $7 trillion, not a question, or we throw you in jail, or we come and censor you. And then they put these clowns, you know, in the media to reiterate this garbage to make you believe that that's how it's supposed to be, because you have to listen to us because we're the smart ones. We know what's going on, and that's just how it is. No one should be listening to these people. These people should be ignored and exiled permanently. And I'm hoping enough people wake up to Bitcoin to destroy this model once and for all. Like, whenever I hear these assholes talk, it makes my blood boil. All of these people are thieves, certified thieves. They need to be prosecuted and dealt with in ways the world has never seen yet, just to set like a lesson out there that this is never to be allowed again. And anyone that even attempts it will be dealt with in ways history has never known yet. That's what I would have told them. Bunch of garbage putting out, trying to fucking make us believe that, you know, these people are some point of authority that somebody should respect. No one should be listening to that trash.
Well said, Rick. I bet you have a bullet list here that you need to walk through for us. What are you thinking?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, basically, I agree with Tony. That this guy, I think his name is Mohammed, just because that's what Joe Kernan called him, right? But this guy, Mohammed, I agree with Tony that he genuinely believes the dogma that he's talking about. And I have some experience of this because, you know, at university, I did an economics degree, right? And we weren't taught any Austrian economics. We were only taught Keynesian economics. And they all live under this sort of weird mass hallucination that you can create wealth by printing money, right? Now, obviously, that's nonsense. You can't just create money out of thin air and call that wealth creation, right? And, you know, props to the guy, Joe Kernan, like, for asking the pertinent questions. Like, okay, so, you know, if it's not 2%, it's 3%. Why not 5%? Why not 10%? You know, the U.S. government is $36 trillion in debt. There's absolutely no way to pay that down. So why not just inflate the money away to infinity to pay that down, right? But this Mohammed guy, you know, he wants to position it as, well, you know, 3% inflation is good because Keynesian economists believe that, you know, that will stimulate the economy. Creating all of this worthless money means that it can flow somewhere and that someone can invest it. And that's why he goes on to talk about, you know, we're investing in the economies of the future. But it's all completely backwards, right? Again, Joe asked the pertinent question, which is, well, so the government is then investing in these economies of the future, and you know, Mohammed was saying, well, no, it's the private sector that does that. So again, you know, he's trying to position it as, look, we have to print money because it will create prosperity in the future and maintain your standard of living. Whereas anyone who has, you know, understands this problem a bit more intimately understands that no, the more you print money, the worse the standard of living for everyone gets. I mean, we've seen it time and time again throughout history, right? Like, it's a big part of the reason why Rome fell. It's a big part of the reason that Weimar Germany had all the problems that it had. And it's happening again, right? Printing money is the problem. But the amusing thing about it is, you know, the way they just pluck these numbers out of anywhere. I mean, he even admits to it, this Mohammed guy, and he says, do you know where 2% comes from? And Joe's like, no, where does it come from? And he's like, we made it up. And so it doesn't matter, that number. So we've made up a new number, and now you should accept this number. But there's not like some credible thesis behind it, right? Like, he's not saying, well, look, I think 3% is the perfect number because it means this, this, and this. It's just, like Tony says, just bullshit. It's just bullshit. It's just made up nonsense, right? So yeah, look, I think we've probably spoken about this on the podcast before, but governments, when they're this indebted, are going to find themselves with two choices. Choice number one is to default on the debt and basically, you know, imagine the US government defaulting. I don't really see that as an option. So the only other option left available to them is to print a shitload more money. And again, history tells us this is the option they always choose. So it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that they're now talking about the target for inflation going up, because it has to go up, and it will go up quicker and quicker. So in 12 months, you'll probably see the same thing, and they'll be talking about, well, probably should be 4%. And then after 6 months, it needs to be 5%. So the rate at which your government has to steal from you, and I say has to steal from you now, is going to increase because they are flat broke, right? So the government is going to steal more of your stuff, and that trend is going to continue. So the obvious solution, as we all know, is to not use the money that they use to steal from you. You know, store your value somewhere where they can't print more Bitcoin, right? So you're safer. That's where you should hang out.
Better buy some Bitcoin, folks. Alrighty, we've got Yellen talking about inflation too. She says that this is wild. I'm not even going to the article. Just read the headline, everyone. Yellen says COVID spending may have contributed, quote, a little bit to inflation. Rick, I'll just bat it right back to you. What do you think? Do you think printing 40% of the money supply in like a 3-year span, do you think that maybe that had something to do with price inflation?
No, it couldn't possibly be. It couldn't possibly be because there's more money in circulation chasing the same amount of goods, right? Like, it couldn't be possibly be that simple, right? I mean, I'd love to see her maths on this. Again, it's similar to our friend Mohammed that we just spoke about. Like, where's your maths? Show your workings, right? We're not trusting anything. We're verifying it. So how on earth did you come to this half-baked conclusion that printing an enormous amount of dollars didn't have any sort of impact on inflation? It's just crazy. And look, you know, the temptation is to jump on a podcast like this and make fun of them like they're stupid. But I think the sad truth is they're not stupid. Janet Yellen knows that printing money causes inflation. Of course she does. So actually what you're seeing is this weird little woman who so inexplicably gets to decide, like, you know, serious monetary policy. She just gets up in front of you and lies straight to your face. Jerome Powell lies to your face. They all lie to your face. So, yeah, it's not stupidity. It's criminality at this point. And, yeah, they're going to keep lying to you. So yeah, just Bitcoin again, seek truth, like seek something verifiable, right? You don't have to listen to these people gaslight you all the time. You have another option.
It absolutely pains people to learn that it can be as simple as just buy and hold Bitcoin, and it doesn't have to be more complicated, because I don't know what the other escape might be. Tony, why don't you give your thoughts?
Yeah, man. I mean, ignore these people completely. These are not figures of authority that should be listened to or respected, especially not with your money. These are thieves, you know, public thieving figures that, you know, are internationally known beyond any form of doubt at this point, right? And so the fact that she's admitting it now, I think they're just losing steam. I mean, it's so obvious what's going on that even they can't, you know, lie anymore. Like they can't even believe their own lies, it seems. And so of course they're going to admit to it. Like, can you imagine 40% of the dollar supply printed in 1 year? Do you know how many zeros that fucking thing is in 1 year? 40%. And if you think that's bad, what's coming now makes this look like a Kit Kat. The money printing that's about to happen very soon is going to eclipse this like exponentially. And so what happens then? What's the real rate of inflation when that happens? When you walk into a supermarket and a Kit Kat costs you $12. What do you think happens then when people really can't afford anything? Remember that chaos that I was telling you about when people resort to insanity to get the result that they want? That's precisely what happens. And I've also said this before, that what's very different between the US and Lebanon is that in Lebanon, we didn't have 500 million privately owned assault weapons, you know, in the hands of private citizens that are now broke, not just broke, that have been robbed blind, blatantly, and have been told to go figure it out now. That's the difference. So when you steal somebody's livelihood, destroy their lives like this, because that's precisely what these assholes are doing, there's going to be repercussions. Like, the debt has to be paid off somehow. It can't be paid off with money. So either it's paid off via violence, because, you know, people are just pissed off and they're just looking to vent and find a solution, whichever way that translates into, there's that. Or you hope that it happens peacefully by opting out of this broken system into something that nobody can control, which is Bitcoin. But as you clearly see, the masses are so far from understanding any form of common sense when it comes to this, that I genuinely believe we're going to see hell before you see the light. Simply because, you know, human beings, not all of them listen to reason. You know, for somebody to take action, there he has to have an incentive. And most incentives come, you know, from extreme cases, mostly pain. So what's more painful than being completely flat broke, knowing somebody ripped you off, or that the bank, for example, doesn't give you your money, or if they give you your money, you can't buy shit with it because it's worthless.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is there are so many, inflation has created an environment in which people don't have excess cash inflow to put into savings. And so many, many, many people are going to be forced into earning Bitcoin before they ever even think about, could I purchase Bitcoin with my dollars, right? Like anyone who's able to do that today is very fortunate. And you hear a lot about that in like the global South. It's like, these people are living off of a couple dollars a day of income. Like they can't buy a hardware wallet, much less, you know, purchase a bunch of Bitcoin. And so I'm empathetic to those people, but there are a lot of people who are in those positions who could start earning Bitcoin in their work, you know, and begin to build a savings around that. But it's insane.
It's crazy, man. Like the solution is so easy and obvious that people don't do it. Most people in the US can't afford a $400 emergency. Like, can you imagine? Like, you can't have $400 come out of nowhere that you need. That'll completely destroy you.
Yeah.
That's insane. And the solution is staring you right in the face. Don't work for dollars anymore. Work for sats. Money that is money. Otherwise, you're going to remain broke. And you're headed off that cliff with almost 100% certainty.
Well said. Alrighty, last one for today. Another day, another custodian for us to ignore and laugh at. Just in, $1 trillion standard chartered to offer Bitcoin custody services in the EU. Tony, I'm going to go out on a limb here and imagine that you are not going to be putting any of your Bitcoin at Standard Chartered.
Look, there's mixed feelings about this. For those that understand Bitcoin and are doing it properly in full self-custody, this is great news because, you know, all this capital is going to come flowing into a scarce asset. So for sure, your purchasing power is going to go through the roof. You're going to, you know, people that are holding Bitcoin in self-custody, that's when the generational wealth train really starts to go on full throttle. However, most of the population don't understand self-custody, let alone Bitcoin. And so what are they going to do? These banks are now using Bitcoin, you know, to concoct a whole bunch of services that they're going to, you know, put out on the market for the benefit of all these people. So someone who doesn't know any better, doesn't want to learn, doesn't want to do the works, too lazy or whatever, he's going to go keep his money with these people, even though it's in Bitcoin. He's going to keep repeating the same bad habits of, you know, leaving your money in a bank. Now he's going to leave his Bitcoin with a custodian like this one. And so thinking that, you know, his money is safe until, you know, fast forward to some sort of situation. And then he loses it all over again. And then, you know, then what? Then Bitcoin is a scam, right?
Yeah.
Human nature. I mean, there's going to be some people that, you know, learn and don't fall into these like traps. But there's going to be a lot more, unfortunately, are still have to learn the hard way before they opt out completely. But for to think that banks are not going to do this is naive. For 100% they're coming because it's easy money for them. They know that they can capitalize on the ignorance of the masses. And most people don't do the work, sadly. It's very sad for me to say this, but despite your best efforts, most people just don't care. You know, like they want to be told what to do.
Yeah. Rick, what do you think? Tony hit on something interesting that people are going to lose their shirt on these sorts of arrangements and then blame Bitcoin. What would you say to that? Like, how would you articulate to people maybe what they need to understand about the risk that they're taking on trusting a third party?
Yeah. I mean, well, like, you know, Standard Chartered is a well-known criminal organization, right? I mean, you know, if you've got a spare 5 minutes, go and type into Google Standard and Chartered scandal. And yeah, you'll find reams and reams of different ways that they have lied, cheated, stolen. I think actually they got caught in around 2012 laundering like $237 million or something and funding terrorist groups in Iran. So, I mean, look, you know, this isn't hyperbole. I'm not just suggesting that they're criminal. It's a criminal organization. It is a criminal organization, and that's a fact. I mean, they've been charged hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in fines now for this sort of carry-on. They were falsifying transaction data on the SWIFT network and all this sort of stuff. So, look, if you think leaving your Bitcoin with criminals is a good idea, you're going to find out really fast, right? Like, and you know what? You thought Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX were bad? Like, that guy was an amateur, right? Like, these guys are professional criminals. They've been doing this for hundreds of years, right? Like, these are the really slick sharks. So, look, to me, it's almost inevitable that Standard & Chartered, when they offer you, you know, to either custody your Bitcoin or let you buy it through them and they look after it, it's almost certain that they're going to sell more Bitcoin than they actually own. Banks, since the dawn of time, as soon as they figured out that not everybody comes and withdraws at the same time, they all quickly realized, well, hang on, we can play fractional reserve games now. As long as not everybody comes at the same time, we can pretend we've got more assets than we really do. But eventually those games always, you know, they always get caught out and people realize the ruse eventually, and then people are left out of pocket. So, yeah, you know, go back to the white paper, go back to the roots of Bitcoin. Like, why does this thing exist in the first place? It's because we're tired of working with third parties that we can't trust anymore. And Bitcoin allows you to be the bank. So, you know, if you're buying Bitcoin and leaving it with a custodian, you are doing it wrong. Like, you really are doing it wrong. It's like you're trying to drive your car in reverse, right? You're in the car, you've kind of half got it right, but you're not using it correctly. So yeah, Standard and Chartered, I'd stay way away from them. And, you know, I have similar concerns to Tony. You know, people who aren't going to do any research, they are going to draw the wrong conclusions, because when the bank goes pop or whatever, the government, the banks, like all of those guys, they're not going to blame themselves. They never do, right? It's like Janet Yellen doesn't blame herself for causing inflation by printing loads of dollars. They're never going to say, oh, you know, this was a mistake. Well, they'll come out and say things like, oh, you know, Bitcoin's too volatile. This is why it can't be a sound, you know, money for the world to use, and all this sort of carry on. So it's unfortunate, because you know it's going to happen, right? It's almost like you can see the accident waiting to happen. Millions of people are going to buy these products and they're going to get wrecked. But, you know, again, to go back to Tony's point, I think on a previous question, pain is what teaches people. And hopefully most of those people will then go and do the work and realize that, hang on, loads of other people still have their Bitcoin. So they seem okay, even though mine's gone. What did they do differently to me? Oh, okay, there's nothing wrong with Bitcoin. It's just that mine was stolen. That would be the right conclusion to draw. How many people draw that conclusion? I'm sure I don't know. But the sooner we get rid of the banks altogether, the better. But I think there's going to be a lot of learning to do before the world is ready for that. I mean, you know, we live in a little bubble here, don't we? Like, we all love Bitcoin. We all think self-custody is painfully obvious. Why wouldn't you do it? But I would venture that, you know, we are an infinitesimally small percentage of the population. So unfortunately, for people like us, it's almost like watching one of those scary movies. You know, when you know the guy with the knife is behind the door and you see the beautiful young woman coming in and you're screaming at the TV, no, no, don't open the door. It's kind of like watching a scary movie. Like, you're going to see all these people go to the bank, start buying Bitcoin there, and you know they're about to get it. But yeah, I guess that's what's coming. It's inevitable. Just don't be the one in the movie that gets killed first, right?
I think you nailed it. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Do not keep your Bitcoin at a Bitcoin bank. Take it into proper self-custody. We can help you. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We will walk you through step-by-step at your pace. Do this all day long, every day. And we also help with online privacy phones, Plan B residency options, so you can be fully self-sovereign. Again, thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Thank you all for tuning in again. And gentlemen, enjoyed this as always. I'll catch up with you guys in a few days.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers.